good evening, and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live once again.
Security, we've got an intruder.
Who the hell is that?
I'll grab my taser.
It's okay, I've got him. Clang!
Oh! Yeah, and double ow! That really hurts! It's me! No, really, it is me!
Yeah. Sandy's just saying that he thinks you look familiar and that he might have seen you in a wanted poster.
No, no, really, it is me!
Well, there was there, innit? But it was on mute.
Anyway.
Seamless.
Look, this is all very familiar.
Yeah. So you come back and nothing has changed.
It's been perfect for weeks.
I've got headlines and everything.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't come here sticking your USB stick wherever you feel like it. You don't know what it's been.
To be fair, that's true. But look, I'm going to push. I'm going to push a button or even push a button and prove it's me. Hutton Hot Bus is static.
The Viper Bio Wiper strikes Explorer.
Too hot, too messy, closing in on the big numbers.
Space legs, not half.
A message from Atrus reaches the studio.
I take a look at what a pickle we're in.
Okay, we believe you. Just behave, though. I've got the pan on standby, just in case.
Not the pan! Anything but the pan! First this evening, Colonia is crackling and sparking. Or at least a little portion of orbital space somewhere near Fort Mugg is, a few square kilometres of space surrounding the Hutton Hot Bus. After one of those late-night Galbay ordering sessions, you know the kind, where you're browsing whilst having a few glasses of Centauri Mega Gin, and wake up to the doorbell the next day with a delivery of an inflatable unicorn, a box of floppy disks, and 500 bunches of fully calibrated bananas for scale, King Hanky had a typographical incident of the 5 billion credit variety. This month's Hutton Hot Bus is a felt carrier. The Brewer Corporation, no strangers to strange orders, delivered this fine, fuzzy, fully featured fleet carrier to Hutton Space for him, complete with velour wallpaper, thick shag carpets, suede-lined seats, and fluorescent flame-proof felt signs for all the landing pads. King Hanky has noticed a few upsides to the purchase of a highly strokeable carrier. The noise reduction and echo cancellation afforded by the fibrous coverings mean that the experience of flying to Colonia is a very, very soft one. The downside is that he's had to confine everyone to quarters after a number of the passengers took to shuffling up and down the corridors in their socks and then giving each other the kind of electrical discharge that makes the ends of your hair go curly. Dead Meat GF, not one normally known for his flowing locks, instead sported a rather fetching St. Elmo's fire hovering somewhere above his cranium. Commander Splendor, usually piratically coiffured and sporting a mighty beard, was walking around the carrier looking for all the world like a giant crackling microphone. Ball Lightning was seen drifting down towards the engine room, and visiting scientists from Canon Interstellar managed to rig up some rather Heath Robinson equipment to see if they could harness the energy to power the coffee machine. The best little addition to the Hutton Hot Bus, that 80s classic, the Fuzzy Felt Farm. Exceedingly flat little animals, specially engineered to have one fewer dimensions than normal, and such that the walls of the carrier could be adorned with cutesy little farm creatures. Unfortunately, the usual passengers took to arranging them in a tableau that would make even the hardiest farmer blush. We don't know what that chicken was doing to Hanky's prized Helan coo, but it's probably illegal in most jurisdictions. The carrier cat had to be put into stasis after the hairball it coughed up following a particularly lengthy velour wallpaper grooming session caused a hairball at risk of developing its own gravitational pull and yanking the carrier off course. This is a reminder to all Hutton billionaires. When buying your next brewer-made behemoth, don't forget to run a spell check over the order form. Thank goodness he wasn't buying a Fur de Lance.
Explorers and exobiologists throughout the galaxy are on the lookout for a dastardly rotten pirate going by the name of the Pink Viper. Today, after reports that the nefarious Baden was interfering with the important work of cataloguing the location of many of the galaxy's exobiological samples. Unlike most pilots who offer to boil you up, or offer to chomp on your tasty cargo, or for those with the violent content and profanity filters turned off, suggesting they're going to tear you a new one, the Pink Viper has a far more insidious method of attack. They're a cyber pirate, the kind that has a keyboard with the gaps between the letters filled with rancid Cheeto dust from their fingertips and most of the login names using substitute numbers where letters should be and probably containing an exclamation mark and a backwards apostrophe and some masked swearing. The attacks appear to be by short-range communication blast and they're targeting exclusively the vulnerabilities in Commander's Dysonator exobiological sampling equipment. One twiddle of the thing, one twiddle of the other thing, and instead of hoovering up some space loofah or cataloguing yet another funiculus camper stress, your visor goes black, followed by the message, "You've been knobbed by the Pink Viper," before waking up back in your ship after a swift recovery by Galactic Emergency Systems, via a menu or two, of course. The Pilots Federation were contacted for further information about the security vulnerability in your portable science lab, as have Vista Genomics. They were quick to reassure people that the Pink Viper was in no way related to the PWAF, which, as everyone knows, is a cobra, and Sally doesn't eat Cheetos. Other than that, they have put a crack team of cyber warfare experts on the case and are hoping to have closed the loopholes and captured the Pink Viper and incarcerated them in some kind of holding facility as the notorious Black Fingernail, Primrose Corsair and the most rotten of rotten robbers, the Tartan Privateer. For the time being, recommendations are that you don't stick your thingy at the suggestively shaped alien life for a bit for fear of falling foul of the Pink Viper and their Barbie virus. For those that are colourblind, just keep an eye out for vipers. Unless they've got a flag, they've got flashing lights on the roof and a siren. In fact, watch out for them too, because if you're not carrying your documents and haven't recently checked the diatread depth of your scarab, you could be in trouble.
After 61 weeks, Too Hot Too Messy is ever closer to the six figures, and with over 98,000 deliveries, and we should reach that significant milestone in the next week or two. Recent numbers have been down to fewer than 1,000 a week, mostly due to the ladies having a temerity to take a break, but now they are back hard at it, so you don't have to. Over the years, I've seen one or two references to life in the galaxy being, well, dangerous. Ooh, surely chucking mugs around is considered generally safe, routine even, but nonetheless rewarding. However, there will be that time where you're busy in the commodity market screen and you didn't see the board security guard wandering across the pad under your ship, right past the keep clear signs, or the time you didn't see the Goliath hovering just above you when you hit the auto launch. Haul back on the stick and hit boost. Then things get exciting and, well, dangerous. The normally passive ground defence lasers go all sonar lumiere on you. The mates of the security guard you just fried get a bit miffed, see the main chance and let rip. Often you get away with dead shields and perhaps a bit of hull damage, but if there are a couple of ships on patrol, they join in with the disco lasers to turn you into a rapidly climbing disco ball of disintegration. Before you've really taken in what just happened, you are presented with a huge fine, a trip to the rebuy screen, and a trip back to your fleet carrier to restock the mugs and gin that are still raining down on the settlement you just left in a most undignified of ways. Traffic to Hutton is very light this week. You're almost guaranteed a parking space when you arrive. I've never seen Cubicle 3 as clear as this before. They must have been through it with one of those giant furry pipe cleaners, or a little yellow truck covered in bristles. Just one Hutton run this week. Norbert Patinaud with 1 hour 24 minutes 28 seconds. Maybe they picked up enough mugs to finally get into the Thousand Club.
Spidermind Systems, the inventive and enthusiastic megacorporation behind such successes as really cool dice, role-playing games where it doesn't matter if people bail at the last minute as the only person they depend on is you, or other role-playing games where you get to fly cobras and throw dice at each other, like really cool dice, as well as the now legendary Little Level Up Tables, have announced their latest invention. Legs. And magnets. Just like you'd find on any concourse on the galaxy. The differentiating factor with these legs, though, is that they're not yours. Well, they could be, but not those kind of legs. Their press release, having been run through the Hutton Translatortron, reads as follows. The little legs that lift your tabletop table can now have their very own little legs, which of course lift the little tabletop table a little higher. What's more, magic magnets under the edge of your tabletop table, whether you fitted the little tabletop table little legs with lifts or not, mean you can add a little light for all the things hidden under your table. Digging in the dark for a drop D10 is a thing of the past. Are you having trouble telling tall glasses of ale from fruity fermented drinks under the rim of your risen realm? Worry no more, as the magic magnetic lights will show you the way without needing 10 feet of improvision and a natural 20 on your perception roll. What's more, your little legged and maybe even lifted little tabletop table is now certified mooncake proof. Unless, of course, you've lifted it a little too much and lose your cat under the extended edges of the tabletop table. Coming soon from Spidermind, a little more for your little tabletop table. Available at all good Pioneer supply stores in a station near you. Oh, and they've made the little tabletop table for your tabletop sitting atop its little legs, or even the new extended little legs complete with magnets for your lamps, even bigger. Meaning you can battle bigger, map more, and have lots more space under the little tabletop table for the things that shouldn't be on the top, but should be safely stowed below. If you see what we mean. Mooncake does. She likes sleeping on ours. After pushing all the miniatures off, of course.
Atrus 5060, stalwart of the war against the Thargoids and regular correspondent here at Hutton Orbital Radio, has sent some news to the Hutton broadcast room, which is absolutely in keeping with proper truckerly behaviour. He's been analysing the attack patterns from the Thargoids and exactly how humanity is doing in giving them the Thargoid equivalent of a bloody nose, and come to the conclusion that we're being a bit mean to them. As such, and in order to avoid a total face roll of the conflict against the Thargoids each and every week, he has done the gentlemanly thing and taken a step back to allow Tharg to pick up his weapons, take a breather, and in future continue the conflict on level ground, which in space is of course spherical, or potato-shaped, but definitely not flat. It might be mountainous. This kind of chivalry is rare in the galaxy, and even more rare when it comes to interspecies conflict. But in an effort to show the kind of diplomacy a Hutton trucker is capable of, Atrus is taking a back seat for a bit. He will, of course, be keeping a weather eye on Tharg's response to this action, And as actions... try that one again. And as actions speak louder than words, and we already can't understand the words that Tharg the Mighty's mighty minions are saying, we're hoping that grand gestures might be the opening overtures into a change in human-slash-Thargoid interactions. We would like to thank Atrus for his service to date, and reassure everyone that should the need arise, and at the very proper time and place, and of course, if we need him, Atrus will be strapping his spandex onesie back on, draping a cape over his shoulders, and leaping once again into the breach. For the time being, he's got absolute faith that we've got this thing in the bag, at least as long as Valkarius is still about. Valkarius, you are still about, aren't you?
After a longer period of not being here, all is generally not too bad and kind of all right in Hutton Space this week. No fewer than 7 systems are on the naughty step, but we have only 1 system in need of Chuckley assistance. More on those stories coming up. Following Hutton's narrow 4-3 victory last week, Ross 671 is still in the wooden spoon spot on 32. The other factions are undergoing something of a permanent reshuffle, as second place just concluded a war against now fifth place, and third and fourth have started to slug it out, tying up a quarter of the influence. Stein 2051 is suffering from a pair of civil wars, neither of which involve Hutton, but they are sucking up all but 10% of system influence, leaving us on 34. A point higher on 35 are a pair of systems, Hillpass Psi and Barnard Star, recovering from pirate attack and infrastructure failure respectively. Hillpass Psi is only 20% of influence available to exploit, but Barnard Star is a proper basket case with 4 factions in famine, a war locking up 30%, and 4 states of civil unrest. Hutton is the only faction not suffering from such chaos, and its residents are understandably elated. Another pair keeping each other company, this time on 38, are Epsilon Indy and LP525-39. There is a very minor war in Epsilon Indy, but the LP system is wide open and clear to boost. Lastly, our 7th below par system is 36 off Yuki on 39. 2 wars are ensuing that only a handful of influence is still on the table, so look elsewhere if you're in the mood for a bit of boosting. Midgecut is suffering from an outbreak, possibly a nasty rash from a blunt razor or not using the right soap, but whatever you do, don't put aftershave on it. Ship in meds to block the shaving cuts and relieve the stinging. In our home system, Alpha Centauri, Centauri Megajin production is still suffering due to the poor security situation, despite almost being an investment. Hand in Hutton bounties and redeem combat bonds in Alpha Centauri. The large pad surface stations are still mostly offline, so those who like to travel around on their space legs might like to indulge in a few restore missions. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have 4 systems above 60%. And priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, relieve the outbreak in Midgecut, boost LP525-39, and if you want to shoot something, vaporize some criminals and hand in Hutton bounties and combat bonds in Alpha Centauri. The gin must flow.